Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for with SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just 10 bucks. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This happened my freshman year of college. I went to a pretty big university, and over time, I met a decent amount of people and had a few groups of friends that I would hang out with. By the time Halloween rolled around my freshman year, I had plans to go out with some of my friends. I dressed up as a nerd and we went out to a few of the bars around campus. As it got later, a few of my friends wanted to go to one of the bars in town that was pretty strict. Being 19 at the time, I figured I wouldn't get in. I told them they should go ahead, and I Snapchatted a few of my other friends asking what they were doing. One of my friends named John told me about a party he had been invited to. He said it was supposed to be really big and asked if I wanted to go with. To me, this was perfect because I wasn't tired yet and still wanted to hang out with people. I told him I'd go and I walked to the edge of campus and met up with him. We then walked a few blocks to where the address was that John told me. We saw what appeared to be the house. We could just barely hear the music coming from inside and saw a kid wearing a basketball jersey and sunglasses sitting out front drinking a beer. We walked up and John greeted the kid, who I guess knew him. He introduced me and the kid said his name was Jake. Then we both walked inside the house, and the first thing we noticed was a little entryway filled with shoes. We took off ours, and then we went through another doorway into a room where we saw a speaker blaring music, but nobody was in the room. Immediately, I got a bad feeling, and as I started to walk forward to the next room, I heard footsteps coming from behind us. John and I turned around and saw two large men enter the room with baseball bats. They had on ski masks over their faces, so I couldn't tell anything about them, but they appeared to be well over 6 feet tall. One of the men shouted that they would hurt us unless we did what they said. Then they ordered us to go into the next room that appeared to be at the back end of the house. I was terrified and John looked stunned and pretty scared as well. The next room appeared to be the kitchen. There was a little table with a chair there, and it also had a stove and a sink, then the back door to the house. There was also a wooden door cracked open that led to the basement, which is where the two men told us to go. They stood about 6 feet behind us with their bats in their right hand and their left hands pointing. As we were walking towards the door, John nudged me, and just as I looked at him, he suddenly darted for the back kitchen door, which I saw him pull the lock back and open it all in the blink of an eye. Without even really thinking, I followed him and ran as quick as I could to the door. I had a strong rush of adrenaline as I did, and I heard the men behind us start to yell and run after us. I literally rammed into John as he ran out the door, and I almost tripped over him. As I was almost out the door, I could hear the men getting closer and felt the back of my right leg get hit with probably a baseball bat. It got me in my upper right calf, and it hurt really bad, but the adrenaline kept me going out the door, and I followed John around the side of the house. The longer we ran, the more my leg throbbed, but we seemed to get a little bit farther away from the men who were behind us, and as we passed by two garbage cans that were on the side of the house, I pushed one of them over to try to slow the men down. John started yelling as he ran, and by the time we reached the street, we didn't notice the men chasing us anymore. I ran with John all the way back to campus before I basically collapsed from being tired and the pain from my leg. We called the police and then told them the address of the house and everything. Apparently, by the time they showed up, nobody was there, and the house was vacant at the time, but was owned by a guy who typically rented to students. I'm sure that John and I narrowly avoided something terrible that night, and I had a really sore leg for a few weeks, but other than that, I was fine. A few years back, when I was 10 years old, me and three of my friends all went trick-or-treating together. It was a yearly thing for us to all go together because we lived in the same neighborhood. I remember that I dressed up as a football player, my friends Jeremy and Lucas went as basketball players, and my friend John was a robot. We started early at about 5 p.m. near Jeremy's house. He lived on the edge of our neighborhood, so it was a good place to start. Then we would work our way back, block after block, to the end. It was a very large neighborhood and had houses of all sizes. We would always get tons of candy every single year. We made our way through the neighborhood, stopping at my house for a few minutes to take a quick break, and then we kept going. We ended up finishing the neighborhood at about 8 p.m. We thought about calling it a night, but it wasn't really that late yet, so we decided to make the walk through the park nearby to another area that had more houses. These houses were more spread out and had a lot less other kids trick-or-treating. The first couple of houses gave us large amounts of candy, and then we knew that we made a good choice to come there. Then we came upon this one house that had a very long driveway. In fact, we almost didn't see the driveway and we walked right past it until Lucas pointed it out. It was a driveway surrounded by trees on the corner of the street. When we started to walk down it, we saw that it went downhill quite a bit and then turned. We figured not many kids had been to this house and maybe they'd give us the rest of the candy or something, so we walked down the long driveway. When we reached the house, we saw a small light on the front step and a zombie decoration holding a sign. The sign said something like, "To finish the prize, follow the zombies," and the fake zombie was pointing in the direction of another zombie that was next to the house in the yard. We walked to the second one, and it was pointing towards the garage, which was behind the house. Me, Jeremy, and Lucas ran toward it to try to get all the candy first. There was another zombie pointing to behind the garage, and the final zombie outside that pointed to the door of the back of the garage. Looking back on it now, I see how sketchy it was, but we just really wanted the candy and didn't really care. The three of us opened the door to the garage and walked inside while we heard John walking behind us and laughing. When we got inside the garage, it was almost completely dark except for a small light coming from a desk chair with a zombie sitting in it holding a large bowl of candy. The three of us inside the garage had big smiles on our faces when we saw how much candy was in the bowl. We knew we could take almost all of it because of how late it was getting. We all walked to the candy, but as we did, we heard the garage door slam shut behind us. We turned, expecting to see John, but he wasn't there, and about 1 second later, the lights went completely out and all we saw was darkness. We were a little freaked out, but laughed it off as a prank and started taking the candy. Just then, I felt someone grab my arm. I could tell it wasn't one of my friends because of how strong the grip was and how big the hand felt. I started getting pulled away, so I shouted, "Stop!" My friends started asking me what was going on. We heard John trying to enter the garage, but at that point it appeared to be locked because the doorknob just kept jiggling. I started screaming help, hoping my friends would be able to help me, but they just shouted back asking where I was. At this point, whoever was there put their other hand on my other arm and was basically leading me slowly deeper into the garage. John then started pounding on the door. After about 5 seconds of John pounding on the door, I was suddenly released from whoever was holding on to me, and I heard a grown man's voice from the other side of the garage yell at us all to get out. The door was then unlocked, and John opened it and just stood there while the rest of us dashed out as fast as we could. We ran all the way back up the driveway and back to my house. It was a terrifying experience, and I really don't know what was going on inside that garage. We didn't report it or anything, which was probably a mistake, but my friends and I still talk about it all the time. In 2013, my best friend Lindsay and I went trick-or-treating together. I dressed up as Harley Quinn from Batman, and Lindsay was Minnie Mouse. We hung out at my house for a while, and we took some photos together, then we left. We planned on going to Lindsay's house after to hang out, because my parents were going to a Halloween party at their friend's house. We went trick-or-treating around the neighborhood, which had a decent number of kids out. I remember seeing somebody dressed up in a full skeleton costume, complete with a mask, walking down the street passing us. He went the other direction and waved at us. We waved back and kept going. About 20 minutes later at a house, I saw the same skeleton guy behind us walking up the driveway. I thought it was a little strange, but we kept going. We stayed out maybe another hour trick-or-treating, and the skeleton guy seemed to be behind us the entire time. We didn't think much of it still until we decided to call it a night and head back to Lindsay's house to hang out. When we started walking back, the skeleton guy started walking back too. By this time, there wasn't many other trick-or-treaters out at all, so we were a little concerned of who this guy was. He seemed pretty big, and we thought he was maybe in high school or something. We walked all the way back to Lindsay's house, which took us half an hour, and the guy trailed us about 50 feet behind the entire way. The longer he followed us, the more creeped out we became, and I kept telling myself it was just a coincidence. At last, we finally reached Lindsay's house and went inside. Her parents were home, and we felt a lot safer. We stayed at the window to make sure he went out of sight. Then we told Lindsay's parents about it, but they assured us it was just a coincidence and he probably lived down the street. Me and Lindsay went up to a room then and forgot all about the man. We watched a scary movie and had some candy. Then it got pretty late. It was a Thursday night and a school night, so I decided to head back home. My house was only about a 5-minute walk away, so I left and began walking down the street. I was kind of spooked from the movie and it being Halloween night, and not long into the walk, I started hearing footsteps from the other side of the road. I looked behind me, but I didn't see anything. I kept walking until I started hearing the footsteps again, and they seemed to be getting closer. I turned around and saw the skeleton man about 40 feet away on the other side of the road. At this point, I was very close to my house, so I made a run for it and sprinted down the street through a neighbor's backyard and into my own backyard. Then I unlocked the back door and went inside. The whole time I didn't look behind me and I didn't want to know if I had been chased or not. When I got inside, I was disappointed to see that my parents still weren't home yet, so I was home alone. I went around to make sure that all of the doors were locked to make me feel safer. As I was at the front of my house, I heard somebody at the back door of my house trying to open it. I just about had a heart attack and I knew it was the skeleton man. I slowly walked to the corner and looked around it to the back door. As soon as I did, I made direct eye contact with the guy. I ran back around the corner. As soon as I did, I saw he was looking right at me. I ran back around the corner to the living room and grabbed the phone to call the police. The guy kept trying the doorknob the entire time. The lady on the line told me the police should arrive within 5 minutes. This made me feel a little better, but I was still terrified. I ran upstairs to my bedroom and locked the door. Then I called my parents. I told them what was going on, and they told me they were on their way home. I just sat in my room waiting for the police to arrive. I was starting to feel a little better until I heard movement downstairs from inside the house. My heart dropped. I knew it would only be a matter of time before he came upstairs. I ran to my closet and hid inside of it. Then I plugged my ears and closed my eyes. I waited for what felt like forever until I heard loud shouting coming from down the hall. I uncovered one ear to see who was shouting, and when I heard multiple voices, I knew it was the police. I slowly left my closet and went to my door and cracked it open. There was the man in the skeleton costume being held by police in my hallway about 20 feet away. His mask was off his face now, and it revealed that he was at least 30 years old if I had to guess. They took him away and started asking me questions. My parents arrived back about 5 minutes later. It made for a really late night, and my parents let me stay home from school the next day. That was by far the scariest Halloween for me. A couple of years back, me and my friend Sam went trick-or-treating together. I think we were probably about 12 or 13 at the time. Sam's older brother drove us to the neighborhood that was a couple of miles away because our neighborhood was small, and apparently this one gave the most candy. We got out of Sam's brother's car, and he told us he would pick us up when we were done. We started going house to house and getting candy. I had never been to that neighborhood before, but I had to admit it didn't disappoint. People were very nice, and we stayed there for almost 2 hours until we reached the end. There were a few more houses on a quieter road a ways down, so we decided to finish with those. Most of the houses there looked a little more run down, and many had their lights off, indicating that we shouldn't go there. Then we reached the house on the end of that street. It had its lights off, but the front door appeared to be open. We were literally turning around and starting to walk back when we saw a man peek his head out from inside the house and waved us over. We started walking to the man. This house was pretty run down as well and had a decent sized yard with long grass and some trees and bushes scattered around the yard. We walked up the driveway and down a sidewalk up to the front porch. Just as we were starting to walk up the steps to the house, I heard a bush that was about 10 feet away start to move. I looked over to it and saw a tall man walking towards us. When I looked at him, he had a terrible look to his face that just really gave me the creeps. He wore dirty clothes, had a scruffy beard, and messy hair. At this same time, the man emerged from the house and started walking towards us. Sam took off running, and I did the same. The men ran after us, but only for a short distance. We were easily able to outrun them. We sprinted all the way back to the first neighborhood, where Sam called his brother, and he came and picked us up. We told Sam's brother what had happened, and he insisted that it was just a Halloween prank to scare us, and then he wanted to drive us back to the house. We begged him not to, but he insisted and assured us that it was fine. I guessed that maybe it could have been a prank, but judging by the look on that man's face, I really didn't think it was. We directed Sam's brother back to the house, and he pulled up on the street across from it a few minutes later. He told us to wait there and he would go talk to the man. Then he walked up the driveway to the house. We watched from the car as Sam's brother knocked on the door. Then we saw Sam's brother slowly open the door and walk inside. Less than a minute later, we saw him sprint out of the house and back to the car. He got in and drove us right back, telling us that we were right. When we got back to Sam's house, his brother finally told us that when he got to the front door and knocked on it, he noticed it wasn't shut all the way, so he looked inside and saw that the house was completely empty. He said it was very run down and appeared to be vacant for quite some time. He had stepped inside to look around and then heard footsteps coming from around the corner, so he took off running. We never trick-or-treated there again.
Years ago, when I was a kid, I used to go trick-or-treating with my friend Michael every Halloween. Afterwards, we would hang out and eat our candy that we got while watching scary movies. On this one year, Michael and I went trick-or-treating around my neighborhood, which was pretty big, and afterwards we got back to my house. Then we put on a movie, and the plan was for Michael to spend the night. Shortly after we got home, my mom, who was the only other person home, said she was going to bed. It was only 9 p.m., but she had work early the next morning. We were watching a scary movie in the living room after that, and got probably about 30 minutes into it when I heard a knock coming from the front door. It really startled me because of the fact that we were watching a scary film. Then, I remembered how it was Halloween, and I stopped being scared because I figured it was just a trick-or-treater, so I started to walk towards the door. But as I got closer, I remembered how late it was, almost 10 p.m., and there weren't really people trick-or-treating out this late. I decided to just take a look out of the window first to see who it was. I peeked out from behind the blinds and saw a creepy-looking man standing at the front door. He looked pretty tall and was skinny with a little beard. He also had sunglasses on, but didn't appear to be in any kind of costume. I had a bad feeling about it, so I decided not to answer the door. And Michael, who was still on the couch, asked me who it was. I told him a creepy-looking dude was there, and I wasn't answering. I watched as the man looked around for a little while, and then finally walked away. I was really happy to see him go, because as a 12-year-old kid, I got scared pretty easy. I went back and resumed the movie, but I would say just about 10 minutes later, we heard a knock coming from the door once again. We ignored it until they knocked again at a louder volume. I wanted to call my mom, but I knew she was sleeping and had to be up early for work, so I didn't. Michael and I both walked quietly over to the window this time and looked out. But as soon as we pulled the blinds back, we saw the man standing at our front step looking directly at us. I made eye contact with the man, who had an angry look on his face. We quickly covered the window back up and ran away back to the living room. We were just hoping that the man would decide to go away, but instead, we heard the knocking once again, but not at the door this time. Now it moved to the window where we had been looking out of. We couldn't see him from the blinds, but we knew that he was right on the other side. I was starting to freak out, but Michael said maybe it was just some guy trying to scare people on Halloween. I hoped that was the case, and the knocking from the man moved from one window to another. He seemed to be making his way around the house to the back. Then we didn't hear anything for a short time. All Michael and I could really do was sit there and listen. Then suddenly, we heard the loud sound of glass being broken. It sounded like it was coming from the back of the house at one of the basement windows. When we heard this, Michael and I both went running upstairs to my mom's room like 5-year-olds. When we got upstairs, we woke her up and told her someone had just broken into the house. My mom got out her phone and called the police, and also locked the door to her bedroom. Michael and I hid under her bed while we heard her talking on the phone to the police. Then we just had to wait for the police to arrive. We heard the man walking around downstairs, but he never came up the stairs. Eventually, we stopped hearing him, and by the time the police showed up, he was gone.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.